Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to the Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast.
On the podcast today, I'm joined by a lady that I really have got to go and see in the not too distant future. I wanted to see her about a year ago, or maybe more. But then, of course, the pandemic came in and we weren't allowed to travel and mix. And, well, everybody knows the story across the world. But today on the podcast, I've managed to get Ivy Shabincic, who lives near... She's going to tell us where she lives in a minute. But she lives near a town about an hour's drive away from me called Prinjavor. Now, my research, you know me, I don't do much in the way of research. Maybe it's because when you get older, you get lazy, I don't know. But what I can tell you about Ivy is she's a mother, she's a YouTuber, and she's an evangelist for sustainable living, which is quite unusual in the Balkans because people aren't really into sustainability as we would know it. She's born in the Philippines. She's now living, as I said, in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Ivy, to start off with, this is the most difficult question people say that I ever ask, so I hope you're going to be able to cope with it. Tell me a little bit about you. Whereabouts in the world are you from? Because I haven't told anybody that yet. And the story about how you arrived where you are today.
All right. So thank you, David, first and foremost, for inviting me here. So I just want to thank the opportunity to tell you thank you for this, because I'm also with you. I like to show the world how amazing Bosnia is, because I'm one of the foreigners who find life here as meaningful and better. So I want to give back to the people, because the people here are very nice to me, and I want to show them more about Bosnia. So we have the same goal. So I'm Ivy Muñeza Sibincic, originally from the Philippines. I live in a small island called Bohol. So Philippines is consists of 1,407 islands. And one of the islands is my island. And it's one of the tourist destinations in Philippines. And so I'm an island girl. And then I studied journalism. I'm a journalist by profession. I also work in the government before. But then I have a change of heart. I decided to study culinary. So I had international culinary. And then luckily I was able to work in cruise ship industry. That's where I met my husband, Slavin, and he's a Bosnian Serb. But after that, I had an accident, eye accident, which the company asked me to go home and do my medication 3 months in Manila, Philippines. And we were in long distance relationship for 3 months also. But then because of love, he decided to follow me in the Philippines, and we got married in the Philippines. After that, we processed the paperwork and we want to be together. And then I arrived here in Bosnia, and then life goes on after. Now I'm currently in my third year here in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And for the last 3 years, we are also blessed to have two daughters, Sofia and Natalia. And as you mentioned, we live in the village also, same like you. And we are here in the Doni Smrtici. It's a small village. We are near the Croatian border. We have this Mount Motaica in our Gornje, or in upper village. And just right next to it is already Croatia. And I'm living traditionally in the village because my husband's family is living traditionally. So I adapt their culture. Our religion here is Orthodox Christians. And I usually document our life here in the village, and also trying to educate other people and inspire, document to preserve culture and tradition. So if you can check on our YouTube channel, I completed all the activities of the Serbian Orthodox people. So I uploaded everything there. I just want them to see how people here do their Christmas, Easter, this type of events, holidays. And because I'm a Catholic, and it's quite similar to Orthodox, and most of my people are very curious. People from the Philippines are very curious about how life here works. But the thing is, honestly, I didn't know about Bosnia before. I never heard about Bosnia and Herzegovina, but I know about ex-Yugoslavia because we have it in our history classes. But after that, no one knows where is Bosnia, where is this and all. But they fear about, you know, this fear about Bosnia, about ex-Yugoslavia, about the war. So whenever I encounter people, they always say, really, you're married to a Bosnian? Is it safe there? It's like that, always like that. Is there a war going on there? Like, I want to correct them. I want to, you know, I don't want to give them a bad impression about Bosnia, because I want to correct, because that's not how it's going on here. They're not updated. They're not aware that it's a peaceful country. It's an underrated country. And people are very nice. They're like, oh, like they fear the people here. So I want to show them like, no. It's not how you think it is. It's not what you see in media. It's all about the news or about war and conflict. But what's going on here is actually people are very nice. They're living peacefully. And we have same culture in Philippines, which is we are family oriented. And I want others to see that, because that's not how they see Bosnia. So I want them. So that's why we're currently really busy with our activities at home. We have so many activities at home, but I'm trying my best to find time to document and show the world what's real happenings here in Bosnia, what's the reality here, because I don't want them to have a fear about Bosnia. And good thing, because I'm so blessed. I know I've been very blessed because my husband's family and friends are very good people. They made it easier for me to adjust. So Asia, Europe, it's quite different. to be honest, there's so many huge differences in culture, and different mentality. But it's easier for me to adjust for the last 3 years because the people here, my family here, have been very helpful and supportive. They made it easier for me. And now, as a way back of giving back to the love and support they have shown to me, I want to other people to see what's reality here, how amazing Bosnia is. And that's, since I'm a journalist and I want to use my voice, my social media, I don't have enough time to post everything, but whenever I have time, I always show them there are people here, wonderful people. It's a cold country, but with warm people. I always tell them, my family also before were like, will you be okay there? Is it okay there? So I want them to see, oh no, it's totally safe. And I'm blessed that my parents were here last other year. They were able to see the situation here. They experienced the life here, and now they are aware that everything is good here in Bosnia. And it's a good way of telling people story where they see it's happening, like you personally showing it to the world, not like you hear in stories, because most of the people we have on our online circle are family and friends. So, and most of them are also educators, researchers, professionals, and they're also aware about history, but they don't know the exact update of the life here. So that's why I'm trying to see what I can do. And we are, my husband is very passionate also about sustainable living, and he's an agriculturist by profession, and I'm a journalist by profession, and we are like combined together. That's why we have the same passion, and that's a good thing, because we try to make a small impact in the world by our family as an example, because family is the basic unit of society. And what we're doing now, we're thinking it might not be impactful for others, but this is our life. We want to always not regret, because we both know this is what we want, and we want to give it a try. Because if I think you're aware that most people here wants to go out of the country.
Yeah,
but we're trying to make it work here. So they're always saying like, are you serious? Why you want to stay here? We have so many potentials. We have, people wants to hire us in other countries. There are other opportunities, but we still want to try making it work here. That's why we try to make our home as an agri-friendly home, where we can have multiple agricultural ventures to be that we can survive here. So hopefully in the future we can have an income generating home. That's our goal right now, at the same time living a sustainable life. So we have we grow, raise, produce everything at home. All the food that we consume at home and everything is almost homemade. Only missing in our home to become 100% full eco-friendly home is the solar energy. We have our own spring water source that we use for our water house or water supply for our household. And we have also this bunar or deep well where we use for our drinking water. And everything, we have all types of animals for livestock, that for meat supply. We have cow, sheep, pigs, chickens, and mostly all the crops we have. And we also have our own family seed bank. We are collecting heirloom vegetables. And right now we have 350 plus, and there will
what?
Be more.
350 yes. Different types of heirloom seeds.
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing.
This is actually a starter number. There are many, many more people out there who are very passionate about collecting heirloom seeds, and I'm blessed to have known them over the years. So we share same passion and interest, and we're exchanging. And most of my seeds coming from Philippines, and some are given from collectors here also, some from Bosnia, some from Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, and other countries. So we're exchanging. We have our own group also for that. And I'm glad that I'm able to share interest with them also. They're also wonderful people that also inspires us and inspire us more to be a steward of the environment, sustainable living. Now we have all this in our family seed bank, and we also share it to others here because we want them to try going back to the basic. So we have our family's advocacy, sustainable living and living a sustainable, healthy lifestyle. And last month we sent out seeds to 20 people entire all over Bosnia and Herzegovina. So we sent out heirloom tomatoes, heirloom beans and Asian vegetables seeds, so for them to try. These are our healthy ones, and we sent them out for free. We covered the shipping, we put down the planting guides and everything. So we encourage more people to start their own kitchen garden and to grow their own food and make an impact in their own little ways at home. Also, we have from our neighborhood here, I always promote Asian vegetables. So they have tried my Asian vegetables for the last 3 years. And they're also growing it in their own backyard, in their own kitchen garden. Now, since I already gave out to most of my family and friends, we give seeds and seedlings and fruits to our family and friends here in Prinjavor and Derventa and neighboring towns. So that's when I decided to open up, put in our social media account if anyone outside the ones that we don't really know, to if you're interested to have this, if you're really committed to plant these seeds, then we can send this out to you. We started later on, we found out like many are interested, so we send more. So but it's not easy for us because, you know, we're just an ordinary family. We cannot shoulder all the cost, but we don't have problem in giving out seeds. We're always, I actually was the one who saved the seeds. That was from my last year's growing season. I enjoy saving seeds, the process and all, experimenting. And there's just a magic in it. I don't know how to explain, but growing food from seeds and saving it after, enjoying the harvest, it's like, it's very fulfilling experience.
I wanted to ask you, when you were saying there about Asian seeds for Asian vegetables, how difficult is it to grow vegetables from your home country in this part of the world? Is there a special technique that you have to tell people about, or is it just a case of, well, they'll grow because the climate is suitable here?
Okay, thank you for that question, because I just want to share it also that growing Asian vegetables is quite a double effort, because it's not same weather here. It's a four-season country here in Bosnia, and we only have short, warm days, and Asian vegetables needs a very long time to produce fruit. So what I do during winter, I start my seeds indoors, I sow indoors, and I transfer it outside during summer when the danger of frost is gone, spring or summer when it's already safe to be transplanted. So I always need to catch up the time. I need to be sure that they will reach the maturity stage before the first frost in autumn again comes. So it's double effort. But if you really want it, there's no, the possibilities is limitless, not limited. So it's hard at first because you don't have an idea. Like my first year, I don't have idea when it's gonna be, because I came from a tropical country. It's my first time seeing snow here in Bosnia. I travel a lot before because I work in cruise ship. I've been to many countries, but I've never experienced winter in other countries because cruise ship don't go when it's winter in these places. We always avoid winter. So that's when I never tried snow, and I only had it here, frost, snow, and all these winter things. And so when I arrived here in Bosnia, first, like, I still have to observe. I still have to check things. So I have my journal. I think I have my notebook here. So I have my my gardening journal. So I take down notes, everything. Oh, now I know this one survives cold. And I do a lot of research in each crop. So that's also helpful. And I put much heart and effort in planting these vegetables. And that makes it more fulfilling reward after when it becomes a success. Right now, I have a lot of Asian vegetables. I'm continually growing more that are rare here. Most of our heirloom crops are rare. You cannot find it in the supermarkets or anywhere here. That's why I'm trying to multiply it. And my family also in Philippines are also surprised because, oh my God, you have all this and we don't have that here. Like we have a small garden back home in Philippines. They actually started after they arrived here in Bosnia. When they see here in Bosnia, before we don't have that in Philippines, they don't grow vegetables. But when they see our lifestyle here, they're like, my parents like, oh, I want to, we would like to start. So that's when they started now. And so because they're like surprised because it's too far. This career that I have before is too far than the life I have here in Bosnia. So they're always telling like, oh, you have this and we don't have that. Like, how come? And it's so different, the climate there. So, but I always tell them, if there's no impossible if you really want. So
how has it been with Slaven's parents, your in-laws now, when you have these Asian vegetables growing in front of them? What was it like for them the first season when you harvested your Asian vegetables and you prepared food and they ate it? What was their reaction? Because people in the Balkans, I have to say, and in Bosnia and Herzegovina in particular, they are pretty conservative when it comes to food. I don't think they're the most ambitious people for new tastes. Tamara's parents, for example, yes, they understand it and everything, but if you go and put something, even for me, when I put British food on the table for the first time, they went, we're going to take this a little bit slowly. This is food or vegetables from the other side of the world. How did they react to it?
I definitely get what you meant because I know that from experience. So this is my technique, my tactic. So it's like a tactic. My parents-in-law are very health conscious. They're very health conscious. So this is what I always tell them. Oh, you should try this gurka dinya. It's very, very healthy. I always tell them, "Vrlo zdravo." This is very healthy. That's when they say, oh, they will eat. That's if they know that it's healthy, when you promote it to them, when you give them information that this is good for the sugar, this is good for your heart, this is good for all this, and then they will start eating. That's when, and they're not, how do you call this? They're not actually choosy. But I know, because I know other people say that they have problem with cooking food, Asian food to their families because they're not open-minded in eating it. But I'm not sure why in my family they're very interested. They're curious how it would taste like. I always ask my mother-in-law because she's the one who taught me everything she knew about cooking, gardening. And we're honest with each other. I always ask her, is it good? And she always say, yes, 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 good. So that's when actually my father-in-law eats Asian vegetables almost every day during summer. Even now, there's no vegetable yet, but I have my supply. I freeze some of my Asian vegetables. And one of their favorites is this bitter melon, gurka dinya. They eat it raw as salad because they know that it's very healthy. And they're just also used to my kitchen, my cooking, because we don't share kitchen, but there are days that we share together, and I always, the garden is open for them to harvest during the days where it's a fresh season. They can harvest there and they can cook and they can get whatever they like in the garden. And there I can see that they're really harvesting, they're really using it for their meals. So I don't see that as a problem. Only thing is they don't like spicy, which I like spicy so much.
I love spicy.
And they don't want this too much flavors. So what I do if I'm the one cooking for them, I just adjust the seasoning. I don't put much. Because I work as a cook, so I understand how would people react to the food. So I always, you know, put some changes, and depends on how, because I already know how their taste, what's their taste bud. So I make some little changes for it to be acceptable for them. And but for Asian vegetables, they really love it. Only thing, maybe some that not applicable to them are the ones that are new. Like I fail to tell them that this is healthy, because some other vegetables I just grow because I want the seeds, so we don't really eat that, but it's for, I just want to collect the seeds. So but mostly the main vegetables, they eat it, so I'm happy, because I want to provide them healthy food. And before, actually, family, my husband's family are veteran farmers. Also my husband, they love growing, but it's the usual. We live in the village. I think, you know, most of the villages have their own vegetable gardens, but it's always crumpier or sweet potatoes, corn, the basic one, beans. So I introduced to them the new vegetables that are new to the family, and I'm glad that they accepted it, they embraced it. So now when I arrive here, they only have one vegetable garden. And then for the last 3 years, we keep on adding more garden lots because it's my wish, and they're very supportive. And since they're also enjoying the fruit that of the gardening, then they agree, like, okay, well, they gave the greenhouse to me so I can use it. They prepared more lands for me to use so we can plant the seeds that we have. And because they also are using it, consuming it, so they're okay. And I'm happy that they are enjoying this fruit of hard work. And it's nice that it's nice to see when it's not the usual food that they eat here. But I actually love also the food here in Bosnia.
And yeah, I was gonna say, what is your favorite food? It's gonna be quite interesting to see what you say. What is the most favorite thing that you like to eat from Bosnia and Herzegovina?
I think it's everyone's favorite. Everyone knows this food that I love most here. Number one is, I always crave that when I'm pregnant, or I've been pregnant twice, and this is my number one cravings, cevapi. But the best is in Banja Luka cevapi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and also my sister-in-law's cevapi. My sister-in-law have picara. She also sell that, and they have such an pizzita picara. It's baked traditionally, so it's really, really yummy. That's why I find it yummy, because the ones we had are good ones. And the second one is burek, the ones with the meat. It's really good. I like it with the white sauce. And the third one, I also love sarma.
Oh, sarma, yes.
And I love eating corn, kurusa with kaimak. So it's really like a favorite, like every day, like every Sunday, we have a family eating together. And because we have our own cow, we produce our own milk and dairy products, and we love to eat dairy products, and kaimak, fresh kaimak is really good, and cheese. No, this and everything at home is mostly homemade. We have many different types of fruits, which we make into compote, jams, juices. So we preserve. So we have year-round supply, and for vegetables, we also pickle them, and.
You have taken the culture totally. I mean, you're doing zimnica, making that winter food, making jams and everything. I come from London originally, and I never ever, when I was a young man, thought that I would be living in Bosnia, and I would be living in a Bosnian village and having to, I don't know, it's just a wonderful experience for me. It seems that you've had a similar journey. In a way, because now you've got used to it and you find it quite fulfilling.
I embrace the new life here. Actually, this is very new to me. Everything is very new to me because I live in an island. It's all about sea. Here it's like more about like mountain countryside life. So it's different. But since I studied development communication, we are into Millennium Development Goals, and I have studied about agriculture, and it's all about theories. So when I came here, it's like I'm applying all the things I learned in college, and I think that everything, you know, it's distant to be here because my husband never told me about life here in Bosnia. He didn't tell me, like, he lives in the village, they grow and all. It all just came when I arrived here that, oh, it's like that. But everyone, all of them are very hardworking, and I don't want to just, you know, sitting pretty and just wait. And so that's when I find it very fulfilling when I see them working. So I said, why won't I not do this productive life also? I don't want to just sit down in the house. So that's why I always join my mother and father-in-law when they work outside. If my husband works, I always come with him. And they always tell me, no, you just need to relax. You just, because you're pregnant, just because I was pregnant right away when I arrived here. But I said, no, I don't have problem risk with my pregnancy. So I would like to help a little. So that's when it become a tradition. Now, me and my mother-in-law doing most of the gardening job, like planting, maintaining, and my husband and my father-in-law does the hard physical job, land preparations. And it became a tradition. Now, I find it I find it like it fits me. I think this is the life that fits me most because I find it's real meaning of life because I used to work only computer, only online, office, corporate work. And I can say that I was not happy with that life. Maybe I was good financially. I can make good money, but then I didn't see any meaning to it. Like I was not happy. But when I started living here in Bosnia, that's when I feel alive. I feel like this is life. This is reality. This is where I'm meant to be. That's why I want to show the world that if you choose to live your life, you can always do something about how to make it meaningful. Because before when I was in college, I was a self-supporting student, and I was busy with my academics, maintaining my scholarship. I was busy with extracurricular activities with the student organizations I was involved. I was very active with these things. And I always don't have time to be myself, to rest my mind and do something productive. I may be doing many things online and all these things, but some missing piece that I did not find when I was doing corporate job. And that's when I arrived here in Bosnia, that's when I realized like life is wonderful and there's so many things I can do to make life more meaningful. And I'm happy because the life that I have here is the life that I never imagined that will happen to me. And I've been independent for the last previous years because I study in different place, not in my home province. I was alone and independent. And that's when I am not always with my family. But when I arrive here in Bosnia, everyone is so welcoming. I don't know about other villages, but here in my village, everyone was very nice. Almost every day, everyone's visiting, saying welcome and sending their love and support. And that's when I would feel like I feel loved here. Like I never had that experience before. So it's like, you know, I feel blessed. And those missing pieces before, it's like coming in right now, like, oh, this is the life that I never thought that would happen to me. And
I've got a question for you. And the question is, did you ever think that you would be the person that wouldn't get stung by a bee?
Oh, I never, we're really surprised why I never got stung until now. I work near the bee house. We have our bee house near the garden. I don't wear any protective suit, but nothing. I don't know why it's like that. But I think because I'm a calm person. I'm just relaxed all the time when I do my work in the garden. I'm just, because I find it very therapeutic working outside. So I find my peace and tranquility when I work outside, and I always relax and just, I just let them do their own business. Because most of the people, when they see bee, they always, like, they're rattled. They're scared right away. They're making the bees feel like they're attacking them. So only technique is just remain and pass by, because they will investigate if you're a flower. So when they see, oh, this is not a flower, this is a human, I will go. So it's just very quick survey for them to see if you're a person or flower, then they will go. So that's why they end up not harming you. So I also like beekeeping. It's my husband's passion. He's very passionate about bees and beekeeping. It's been his lifelong dream to become a beekeeper. He studied in Banja Luka, agriculture in Banja Luka, and he said that beekeeping is really the one that touched his heart. So, and it took time for him to start because he wants to start big. But then we always think, like, if we don't start now, then when? So that's why we start to have our beekeeping now, even though it's little by little, slowly. So he actually did most everything like DIY, do it yourself. So because beekeeping is an expensive hobby. So, but he tried his best to do everything alone so we can save. He built his own bee house, the beehives and the frames. And now he had got 13 hives right now with two layers. And it started only with three, and bees multiply a lot, really like doubling very fast. So that's why he needs to keep up making hives for them so they won't swarm. Because if you don't provide them a place or house in the hive to stay, then that's when they go and swarm. So you need to avoid that. That's the fear of a beekeeper. So you need always to provide them with the space for them to colonize. But beekeeping is good. It will give you free many products. There's all the products from bees are useful, from honey, pollen, this beeswax, everything, so many benefits. So that's why it's also good to have at home, since our goal is to become a sustainable home. And there's also, we are also trying to actually educate people about beekeeping, about bees. It's the bees are important. We should start to have the mindset that these bees, butterflies, these pollinators are important. So we're kind of not technical, but if you can check on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, we want to educate people on organic gardening, permaculture, beekeeping, organic raising of livestock, and many more. We also practice at home the 5 R's, reduce, reuse, recycle, repurpose. And we're trying to, because our family's mantra is to live healthy and frugally. So we want to be off the grid. It's the concept is like living off the grid. So we don't depend on other people, depend on government or other means to live. Because right now in the pandemic, you know, we here in the village, we don't feel the pandemic at all. It's like nothing happened. We go out to the grocery when only the need arises, only for toiletries. And actually, Slavin's grandmother used to make homemade soap and detergent also, which I always tell my husband, like, I want to do it again. So we can preserve that family tradition. And it's nice that during the pandemic or the crisis, we don't feel any pressure. We just continue what we're doing. We don't feel the pressure outside. And everyone before, in the first few months of the pandemic, they're like scared. They're buying a lot of groceries, filling up their shelves. But we didn't feel anything. It just, we don't fear anything because we have everything at home. We're confident that we can survive if the supermarkets are going to close. If there's no more supply, we have everything at home. And we have so many seeds at home that we believe that 1 kilogram of seeds is more worth than gold. You can, if something happens, God forbid, if something happens in the world, we can survive. So we have the water, which is very important. And we're blessed because our homestead, I call it homestead, because it's like everything is here in our home. We also live with animals. So everything is here. We have our own spring water source. And we don't depend on this water from the government. And we have our own for drinking water. Only is the solar energy that we lack for now, because it's not easy to have that. We check on it already. And just so many paperworks and bigger costs. But it will also return the investment later. But for now, we're slowly...
But your aim is to have solar as well. You'll be the only house in the village with solar, won't you? Do your neighbors copy you all the time? Because you're very successful.
For us, I'm not sure if because for us success is doing what you love, being happy, and our happiness is just simple. It's just this right now. Like, our focus is family. And we have 2 kids, and we just want the best for them. We want to provide them quality, safe food. That's why we're growing vegetables. And we also want to be together all the time. We don't want my husband to be away. That's why we try our best to make our home as income-generating home one day, slowly. So we fill our home with many fruit trees in the hope that in the future we can make business out of it. My husband started planting hazelnuts, walnuts, and for long term, for the future. It's not earning right now. There is no profit, but we always think about the future of the kids and the present moment. So me and my husband have different views about the world. So if we always have projects for developing our home. And we love traveling also, but we don't spend much on things that are going to pass by. So we always, if we have extra, we always use it to buy more seedlings of fruits. We always invest it for the future, for something that will multiply later. That's always our family's activity. We always want to make sure that this will be, because this is what happened. My husband is actually the only son and the youngest, and their culture here is if you're the youngest son, we will inherit everything. And we're blessed that my husband's family have enough land to cultivate. Only problem is that the family, from generation to generation, they're just keeping it, they're not utilizing it. So me and my husband have different perception. We want to make use of these lands. Right now, others have become forests, and some we let others use for free. But we were thinking, why would not utilize this land? No. So but the problem is, we all start from scratch, because parents and previous generation, they just keep it just to have that from the family. But they don't use it for growing. They only use a little space for growing annual crops. So me and my husband always think we can invest for the future, slowly make projects where we can use this land to grow different, because we're into heirloom, native fruit trees, native crops. So that's why we slowly produce, multiply whatever we have. We're collecting seeds so we can multiply this, what we have at home. Because right now there's so many land that we can use. Only problem is we don't have the capacity to to maintain it, to invest on something. But we're trying our best. Me and my husband are together for 3 years only. But in the last 3 years, we have achieved many things already, slowly. And it's hard because I'm from Philippines. There's so many paperwork, and my parents were here. And that was our first project. So my parents, to see my situation here in Bosnia, they can also see their grandkids. At that time, I still have one daughter. So they can see and they can meet Slavin's family, because they're very also family-oriented. So Slavin's family wants to meet my family. They want to make sure that they get along well. And they're very, very nice people. And I'm happy that they're supportive in bringing my parents here so they can experience life. So these things, because we're very focused on, our family is focused into these three things: abundance of food, health, good health, and happiness. It's all about family. That's why we want to live a sustainable life. And we want to also share other people that when you live a sustainable life, there's a sustainable happiness that comes with it. And when you do that, you will have a happier and healthier and meaningful life. And this is something that we want to show and share to the world as a family and make an impact. Because right now, if the present generation, everything is busy with the social media, everyone forget to make a life. So, but because of social media also, we are able to share what we're doing. But if we put social media in good use, then it's really impactful. And I came to this culture before, like there's no life working in corporate job. That's when I find joy in living out of the shell. That's when I want to, that's how it started. That's why when I see that the life here is beautiful, I told my husband, oh, I want to document our life here, because I want others to see us, like, don't be afraid to start living off the grid in your own little ways. It's living sustainable life. If you have if you're living in the city, if you have small land, then you can start growing your own food. You can start because I was before an environmentalist. So it's kind of so many things going on with my life, and everything is like boiling down to living a sustainable life. So I always, it's just my thing, and my husband also shares same interest. So
it's like a dream team. It's like having the dream team, right? With you and Slavin. A question I have for you is, the people that follow you back home from the Philippines and the wider world as well, when they see your YouTube content, when they see these wonderful posts that you put on your Instagram feed, what are the comments like that you get back from people that see what you're actually doing?
Okay. I'm happy with the comments or feedback from the people. We actually have people who message us, we video call, we keep in touch, because we guide them, because they also starting to live the way how we live. They always tell, like, thank you for inspiring us to live a sustainable life. And we bought a land because of you. We started to bought the property in the village because of you. We started to start our own garden because of you. You know, these people who were inspired, and I'm happy. We're very happy that the, even though just posting what we do, also giving them an inspiration to do the same. So we also guide and coach others who want to do sustainable life. So we're always find time to educate them the basic or the start, how to start living a sustainable life, how to grow this and that. So they have idea. It's not hard for them to start. And we have so many people messaging us directly, especially on Facebook, like, oh, Ivy and Slavin, thank you very much because you inspired us to do this. And we have decided to purchase a land in the countryside so we can start doing the same. So hopefully we can visit these people who message us in Bosnia, because we have people from Bosnia messaging us this type of things. And hopefully one day we can come and see how everything is doing. And my husband is also supportive, Slaven, because most of them communicate in the local language. And Slaven, it's really a dedication because Slaven is a very busy person. But he always finds time to sit down and reply to these people when they ask, like, oh, how to grow this, how to do that. And since I want to do it, but my language is okay, but it's not really same when someone from the local language would communicate. So Slaven sit downs and find time to call them or speak to them and encourage them that, oh, okay, so they won't give up. So they will really start growing. So we like, it's good in, it's nice feeling when you see that the people are inspired, because it's just simple when you post on social media pictures, videos, but when there's, you can see that it's making an avenue or a climate or to produce change in other people's lives for the betterment, then it's also like in yourself, you can feel like it's worth it. Even though I miss some sleep, I lack some sleep sometimes, because when you're really working hard right now in the village, like now it's busy season. So during daytime, when kids are asleep, when kids are with the grandparents, that's when I work. That's when me and my husband work. My husband will have daytime job. After job, he works, help me in the garden and helps with the parents in the farm. And during day, it's too much job, house, gardening, kids. And at the end of that day, you're really, really tired. It's like you just want to lie down. But I choose to still wake up a little bit and post and write and share. And, you know, I miss some sleep. But when you receive positive feedback from people that you're inspired by them, and then I feel alive. I feel like it's worth it. I don't mind missing a sleep just to at least leave a simple footprint in other people's lives. And we really hope, because right now we're not really active on social media. I always post pictures, but on YouTube, I don't get time to spend on laptop editing and doing things. But I have videos, like for the last 3 years, pending videos that are still in my laptop. But those videos are educational videos, like how to grow, how we harvest, how to make recipes of food and all those preservations and all. But hopefully I can find time when kids a little get bigger, because right now we're busy in this season. When I get time, I can finish uploading all of this. But when all this, when everything is, I plan to find time for that. And even though we have a small online community because we're not consistent with social media, we're happy that it's slowly growing. And we are looking forward to find more people who will be joining our online community, because the people who are on our online community, we consider them as our family. So because it's like a family affair for us, like these people showing support, we're very grateful to them, because, you know, I appreciate when they put a comment there, you know, when someone put a comment there, leave a message or send us a message, they give you time to say these messages, like words of encouragement, words, kind words. You know, I may not be able to reply to each one of them, but it's I feel it in the heart, and that helps me to keep going, sharing. And me and my husband always, you know, like when we do gardening outside, we just want to finish it because we have less time. But I always tell him, please, let's find time to record a video of this so we can show it to other people. But, you know, it's a dedication. It's something that you choose. No, you cannot, because it's too much job we have at home. So at the end of the day, I always tell my husband, please, let's just do this. Just a little snap glimpse so we can post this so people know what we're doing, and in the hope of inspiring them to do the same.
Well, I think that you are one of the most inspirational people that's come to Bosnia and Herzegovina. And I'm not saying that just to make you smile. It is. Your channel is exceedingly educational, informative. And I think for people around the world, actually, they can take a lot away from the content that you create. And if it's not consistent, that doesn't matter. It's I think it's very much the quality beats the quantity. And you certainly do have really, really, really good quality. And your pictures and the small posts that you put on Instagram are totally amazing. I cannot wait, Tamara said today, we can't wait. And her mother wants to come as well. So you must probably find there's a carload of people turning up. We really want to come and see you. And if we can, create some more content for you and help you to get the word out. Ivy, you have got such a busy life, and do you realize that we've been talking for over 50 minutes? 50 minutes, when I know that you could have most probably taken a break. So at this point, until we come and see you and create a vlog, I'm going to dedicate the whole vlog to when we come up to see you in the village. Thank you so much for giving me the time. You are inspirational and you're amazingly passionate. My last question for you, though, is to talk about very, very quickly something that we've not touched on. Your children are now like Serbian Filipinos in a rural village. How do they? Well, they most probably don't know any different. But what is the reaction to the locals to having children who are not, you know, pure Bosnian Serb or Bosnian people per se?
Okay, I look forward when you come here, and we'll be glad to host you. And about my kids, so we have here, the people here are very nice. I repeatedly say that because they're really nice people, and very nice is an understatement. For Sofia, it was like every day we have babina. I'm not sure if you're aware about babina, you know, this baby shower.
Yeah.
Like, even my husband is surprised, like, for the first time in history in their family, like, people visiting us every day. That time there was still no pandemic, so every day we have visitors showing, wants to see Sofia, wants to see our daughter, because I'm not sure why, if they're curious or what, but you can feel that the love of the people, and they always share whatever they can. They always send us gifts, and they don't, I don't see any gap between having a hybrid, we call it hybrid baby to the local here. And no, it's actually an advantage, where like when people come here and they treat us more, like more, I don't know how to say, they treat me more, they treat our kids more nicely because they're half. And I'm blank. Can we repeat this part? Is it okay?
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, I just start again and I'll put it together.
I will just repeat this part because I'm hanging.
Yeah.
My kids have received good love from the people here. When my firstborn daughter was born, my husband was also surprised that we received that so much amount of love. Almost every day, that time before the pandemic, everyone visited us. All the neighbors, all the families and friends, even the ones living outside Bosnia, they all came by to see our kids, to give babina, to share their blessings, to give love, and celebrate the birth of our daughter. For Sofia, it was like 7 times we have the traditional babina, where the visitors will give you the food, one roast pig, whole pig, a cake, and all those food that for the traditional baby shower. So it was, my husband was like really surprised, because it never happened to the family before. But when I started to arrive in the family and when we had kids, we have kids, that's when we start to become more sociable to other families and friends. That's when we start to have more people coming to be with us, to socialize with us. So it doesn't have any gap when my kids are half or hybrids. They just consider them as part of the family, that they belong to the community. And actually, they treating our kids more nicely that they're half, and they're like fond of my two daughters. They always find time to visit us whenever they're home in Bosnia, whenever they have time. They always come and check. But my husband said it's a give and take culture here in Bosnia, especially in the Orthodox tradition. If you are kind to people, if you are good to people, then they will give it back to you. So my kids are the first grandkids that are here in Bosnia because my husband's sister, one is in Belgium. So the neighbors were not able to share for Babina and all. So it's the first time that my husband have family. So now the neighbors are returning back the favor, the family and friends. So just that we are the ones here left in Bosnia. So everything, my husband said like, oh, why the people here are very nice to us. And he said like, it's a give and take culture where if you're good to them, they will return back the love. So that's why he said like, don't be surprised when they're giving us this so much love, because they also, when they don't have kids, even my husband didn't have kids yet, he was also visiting other people, families and friends who had their child. So also my in-laws. So now that we have our own kids, then that's the time they also give us back the love. And I don't see any gap between having a half Bosnian Serb Filipino child and the child here. Everyone is just respecting each other. And I don't see any problem or any racism at all. And which people might think that, you know, they think Europeans are like, I don't know what's the exact term, like they think highly of themselves, or because I see this so many online, many are bullying Asians, and most like they say like, but I don't know, it's just me or what, because I didn't had any bully encounter here in Bosnia. I never had any encounter with people like disrespectful or something. Or maybe I'm just lucky because the family and friends of my husband's are good people. I only had maybe negative encounter online, because when I arrived here, they follow our story. So when my husband came to Philippines, he was featured like a Prinyavar guy went to Philippines for love. So they follow our story. When I arrive also, they follow our story. They also put them on the online portals and television. So that's when some people who doesn't have any idea, who are not open-minded, that's when they put comments there like, you know, but I understand, you know, they don't know anything. They're just here, so they don't know how other world works. So, and I always take it as like I don't take it deeply. I mean, I just take it like it's okay. They don't know. It doesn't matter. So, but they think if you're married this European and Asian, because they always disregard Asians as lower class. I don't know why it's like that, but they don't know that Asians are capable of doing many things. And we're just same people. We're equal. We're equal in the eyes of God. We're equal. And it's just that maybe in the history of the previous wars and all those that who won the third, they think Asians are most likely third world countries. Bosnia is actually a second world country. And the first world country, like, oh, you stayed there because you're a third world from the third world country. But those people who are educated, those people who have seen the world, who travel a lot, who read a lot, know that everyone's equal. Everyone have different passion, different careers, different way of thinking. But mostly everyone who who know about many things, about how the world is working, they're open-minded. So only sometimes I get negative comments like, oh, this lady just came to marry because of papers, because she thinks that the Bosnia is a rich country. Well, you're wrong. But I'm all aware. I'm all aware of where I am now. I always tell my husband, like, we can always come back to Philippines. I can always find job. We can support our family. But I can also find job here, even though I sit down on computer. I can find job online. But we choose to prioritize our family. I want to take care of my kids. I enjoy not working now with computers, with the corporate. And this is a blessing that I'm enjoying. And I don't want other people to think that, you know, I just came here because of papers. I want to become a citizen of Bosnia. Well, in fact, Bosnian passport is just same like Philippine passport. It doesn't make a difference. It's easy to travel in European countries with a Bosnian passport. And they always think like, oh, it's just money. Well, I not to, you know, I earn good in Philippines. I was professional. I can support myself. But these people doesn't know anything. So I know they don't know about this. So I just say, it doesn't matter for me, because what's matter is our life. What's the reality? So I just take it lightly. But so far, everyone, those that are in close contact or encounter, I don't see any problems. They're very, very nice people. Just this, some trolls online
the trolls are everywhere. They troll me as well. So hey, you and I have got something in common with that, Ivy. You have such a healthy attitude to life. So now you're as inspirational, passionate, and refreshing. As I say, we can't wait until we get up to meet you. I just can't wait to see the bees and to see everything that you've been talking about. I'm very excited about it. It's time to let you go, because I know that you have a lot to do. Please say thank you to Slaven for us taking you away for an hour, and for giving your very positive view about being a foreigner here in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Maybe you're more Bosnian and Herzegovinian than some people that will most probably watch this, which sounds crazy, but it's true. Thank you so, so much for giving us your time.
And thank you for the time also. And I hope to meet you one day and we can talk. Me and Slaven love talking, so sorry.
We'll talk forever. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Puno pozdrav, Slaven.
Veliki pozdrav also.
Ciao. And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.